And then tonight we're going to look at knowing your pattern. And so one of the best models that I can think of for prayer is the ACTS. You guys might be familiar with this, ACTS prayer. It's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And the reason why I think prayer, for a number of reasons actually, but a couple of reasons why I think prayer patterns are good is because it teaches us key elements of prayer, and it also teaches us priorities in prayer. And this one that we're going to look at tonight, ACTS, the ACTS prayer model, will teach us the elements as well as the priorities. And so why is having a pattern in prayer really, really important and good to know? Because this is the way Jesus taught us. In Luke chapter 11, his disciples came to him and they saw him praying, and they said, "Lord, why don't you teach us like John the Baptist, like he would teach his disciples." And so Jesus then began what's known as the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer. It's Luke chapter 11. And although it's not in this exact same order, it covers the same 4 points, the adoration, the confession, the thanksgiving, the supplication. So tonight, again, these are just designed to be kind of quick studies, kind of to help us along in our prayer life. So I want to go through the 4 points just so we can understand this and have a really good understanding. So if you can turn to Psalms 96. We're going to be in Psalm 96 to start off. This is where we're going to get adoration from. We're going to talk about adoration. And certainly a lot of passages in the Psalms would be good for understanding the adoration, the praise that goes through a man's life, a child of God's life. And as we grow in this discipline, I think that it will develop a delight that we have in prayer. It builds on that as we naturally spend more time with the Lord. Yeah, this first element of prayer, adoration, will come as well. So as we look through these verses, we're going to go through the 13 verses pretty quickly, but we'll break this up according to this, and I'll give you guys a quick outline as we go through. But verses 1 through 3 is about appreciation. When it comes to adoration, we really need to have that spirit of appreciation. And when you appreciate someone, you should express that to them. And it certainly is no different than the Lord. So follow along as I read verses 1 through 3. We're going to look at these verses and how to appreciate the Lord even more. In verse 1, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples." So the first thing we see here is we really need to be praising God for who he is. There needs to be something here. If you're there in Psalm 96, verse 1, I really, really like these two words, a new song. When it comes to our prayer life, when it comes to our life of worship, when it comes to our intimacy with the Lord, when it comes to our adoration, we should be having a new song. There should be something new, something fresh, something churning in our own life, a work that the Lord's been doing in our lives, something that's new. That's always like a question, like, hey, where are you at with this? Like for me, I'm wondering, what's the new song right now that I have for the Lord? What is the new work that he's doing, and what can I be praising him for? These words, new song, they occur 6 times in the Psalms. They're written 6 different times. And then when we get to the book of Revelation, we're going to see them twice, chapter 5, verse 9, and chapter 14, verse 3. And it talks about having a fresh song. There needs to be something fresh, something newly developed that's coming out of our lives. And when we have that, there's something exciting about newness. And when there's something new that the Lord's doing, we can then sing a new song. I know this is a little bit of a tangent into the life of worship, but we need to be praying for a worship leader, but I'm really hoping that there would be a worship leader that would have the sensitivity to the Lord to be able to lead us in free worship. So there's a time where you're singing, and then there's a time that are, you're singing the words that are on the screen, and then there's times where you just sing the new song coming from your heart. And I think it's a little bit like a muscle. It takes a little bit of development. It takes some comfort, We need to be comfortable with that. But there's something that should be driving up. God, I praise you for this. Thank you for this today, Lord. Thank you that you got me through that call. Thank you that I went from this call to that call and the transition was well. And thank you that, you know, I connected with these clients. And thank you that I can consider this job a ministry, that it's more than just serving the people, but I'm serving you and I'm serving them in a spiritual manner more, you know, as much or more than in a corporate manner, a business manner. So whatever it would be for you, I think we need to have that new song. And then we need to not just praise God for who he is and the work he's doing, but what he's done and what he promises to do, and then for how glorious he is. And that's really what verses 2 and 3 talk about, those different things where he's given us salvation. And so we're to proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. It should be ongoing. And declare his glory among the nations. There should be something happening in us where we are just saying, God, I just appreciate you. I thank you for the work you've done. Thank you for the work you promised to do. And thank you for the work that you you're going to do in our lives. And then we come to verses 4-9, and it's more of an invitation. It says here, we see the motivation, verses 4-6. He says, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." So the psalmist is just writing, again, just kind of praising the Lord. The verses, they capture the reality of God being the true and living God. We have him. He's our God, and there needs to be motivation. He's great and greatly to be praised. And then verses 7-9, there's just a majesty, there's a magnificence that we should be invited into declaring. And so it goes on, it says, "Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory due his name." Give him what he deserves. "Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." There's so many things. If you've been around the church long enough, some of these things should sound very familiar. But we should be giving him the glory that he's due because he deserves it. And then it's kind of an interesting thing is that we can come and we could worship in the beauty of his holiness. Like we actually can come into his presence there, and in his holiness, we can bow down, tremble before him, and just glorify him and in his majesty and his magnificence. And that's really what the psalmist is saying. You're invited to do this. And then this is a good group of verses, too. Verses 10-13, there's an identification. So he says, the psalmist goes on, he says, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is also firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Let then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the earth or the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth." What these verses really are showing us is that there's an identification of who God is. The psalmist is writing and he's saying, here's how I see God. He's a creator. He's created all of this. He's a righteous judge. He's the one who holds everything in place. So I was thinking, what are the things that we can give adoration in our heart? How do you identify the Lord? Is he a strong tower for you? Is he a refuge? Is he your banner? Is he your defender? Is he your provider? Is he your healer? Is he your savior? Is he your redeemer, your sanctifier, your strength? Is he the Lord to you, your kurios, your master? And I was thinking, you know, this is really something that we need to be able to identify. Our prayer life will increase when we can identify the God that we're praising and adoring. God, I just thank you for that. By the way, and we'll get to this by the end of the study, but what a good, solid way to start prayer. God, we just adore you. Lord, we praise your name. We thank you for all the things that you do. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that we can depend upon you. Lord, we thank you that when the world is all crazy, we can run to you as a strong tower. Lord, we thank you that you're our banner. You're the flag that we hoist up and we say, God is the one who defends us. You're the one who protects us. And it drives your feelings and your heart. So I think it would be a good thing to do that. Lord, next week I'm going to be skiing, and then I'm going to go out in the freezing rivers, and I'm going to fly fish. And I'm going to stand there in his creation. I'm just going to, and I try to do this every time. Lord, look at what you created. You are an awesome God, and I'll see these fish freezing temperatures, and they're thriving, and they're, that's their environment. And then I get to kind of experience it. And Lord, you've given it to us. You've told us that we have dominion over these creatures. God, you are good to us. We're created in your image. You see how you could just let that flow in identifying who God is and the things that he does for us and has done for us and he will do for us. So we need to have that adoration. The second part of this prayer pattern is confession. And if you could turn with me to, keep in the Psalms, keep your fingers, go to Psalm 139. And I'm just going to read the next one. So in confession, here's what we need to remember. We need to include iniquity. And Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 and verse 23 gives us a couple points. We don't want to ignore this. We want to include the iniquity. And that is, we need to understand none of us are good. None of us are righteous. No, not one. The Bible goes on in this chapter in verse 23 to say that we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. So we need to come to the Lord and just honestly confess these things and acknowledge them honestly before him. In Psalm 139, if you're there, look at the last two verses of the chapter here. We need to invite the investigation. In confession, don't just include the iniquity, but invite the investigation. I was listening to a YouTube video. What I'll do is while I'm working, I'll bring my laptop up and I'll watch these YouTube videos and I can kind of learn and, just be entertained a little bit while I'm working. And one of the guys was talking about MMA fighters, and he was saying one of the best things that happens to an MMA fighter is to lose, because it shows you what you're made of, and what it does is it drives you to be better. For a person who doesn't ever lose, a lot of times they're oppressed by a fear that they're eventually going to lose. Once you lose, then you're like, I just need to get better. And so I think that we don't want to. I don't want to include my iniquity, and I certainly don't want to invite the investigation. I know my heart. I know who I am. The Bible says our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know them, right? We're really, truly not trustworthy creatures. And yet the Lord invests so much in us. So the psalmist here comes in at the end of the chapter and he invites the investigation. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." This really allows for intimacy and growth to take place, because you make yourself vulnerable. And there is no one that it is safer to be vulnerable with than the Lord. And so I think it's a really safe thing to go and to say, "God, would you please search my heart? Lord, you know my heart. Try me. Test me on these things. Show me if there's any wicked way in me that I might get better, that I might be sanctified by you." As part of our confession, "Lord, if there's something I need to confess, would you examine my heart?" When I was studying through this, I thought, a lot of times there's people, sometimes I'm preaching, and there are certain people that I've seen, it almost looks like, this is wrong for you to like, just by the way that a face looks. But sometimes I look out there and I think people are like, "I've heard that before. I've heard this message over, and I know where you're going to go next." I don't think that applies here for anybody here. But I was thinking, if that applied, here's some questions you could ask. One, when was the last time you did this? Psalm 139, 23 and 24. "God, would you please investigate my heart? Would you try me? Would you show me if there's anything wicked?" When was the last time you asked the Lord to show you where you've sinned? I think a lot of times people think, "I'm past that." And I would say, so you've arrived at spiritual maturity and you don't need to ask the Lord this anymore. Because I would say you've got a lot of... There's people in Scripture that seem a lot more mature than you. If somebody were to say that, I would say there's a lot of people in Scripture that continue to seek the Lord and to find things. So, again, I don't think that applies to the people that are here tonight. But this is something I think we need to be encouraged to do is, Lord, would you please check my heart out? I invite you to investigate here. And the next one is 1 John 1:9. We need to initiate the involvement. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we just need to come clean with the Lord. He already knows these things. We don't need to fight it. We just need to come clean. It's safe to come to God and to know that. One of the things I want to make sure that I cover here, it's very, very important that we understand, is God is just waiting to shower grace and mercy upon our lives. He's a good God. But in order for that to happen, we've got to confess. So just the steps of confession, you include the iniquity. He already knows it anyways. You invite the investigation. Again, he already knows it anyways. And then you initiate the involvement. Lord, I confess to you my sins. God, forgive me. Let me take it one more step before we go to the third point, the thanksgiving. There should be application in our lives. There should be something that when God is revealing things to us, that we go take care of that. We go and we apologize to people, or that allows God to do the next step that he wants to do. We don't control other situations. We don't control other people. But when God works upon our hearts, it's very, very important that we would respond to that following his direction. So now jump over to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Jumping back to the New Testament here, 1 Thessalonians. So this one, the third part of the prayer is thanksgiving. We've got adoration, praising God, giving him glory, saying all the great things we love about him. Just like it's like putting the bulbs on the Christmas tree, just adorning him with praise. And then we confess our sin. We come to him and we say, God, forgive me. You already know these things. Forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. And then the third point, we need to give him thanksgiving. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Whenever you see this is the will of God for you, like that's pretty much important. That's your duty. Like you have to do that. And so we need to give thanks. I think the problem is when we're going through seasons where finding or seeing things to give thanks to God about are difficult. For me, that's a result of me having my perspective or my focus be off, be skewed. I'm not in the season of practicing this and giving thanks to the Lord. I could be overwhelmed and struggling in a situation. The first things that I think of. What prohibits me from doing that? I'm going through a season where it's just like, how can I praise God right now with all this happening in my life? I've walked with the Lord long enough to know there's something wrong with me. It's not God. He's not changed. It's me. And I've moved away from that. And so we just need to kind of, get nudged back into that flow and just keep walking with the Lord and find good things for him for us to be thankful for. So when we practice this, we get better at it and we start noticing more things to give thanks to God about. It just becomes that practice that we go. So, what can we give thanks for? Paul said, give thanks for everything. So this is always one of those illustrations. I love to see these little kids when you're about ready to pray. And you say, why don't you go ahead and pray for the food? And they keep their eyes open. And every single thing that they see, they thank God for. And it's really cute, except for when you're really hungry. It's expansive. It just goes on. What can't we give thanks to God about? You know, we can give thanks to God for the good things and the bad things because he's faithful in all of them. But I'll break it down into three areas. One, the simple things. Two, the significant things. And three, the small things. The simple things are just basic common things. And that is like having a childlike faith to thank God for food, for clothing, for shelter, for family, for friends. Just your simple things. God, just thank you. Thank you for dry roads tonight, Lord. Thank you that there were no ice on the roads. And just, you know, Lord, thank you for, I came in and the sanctuary was warm. Thank you for that. I've been here at church. Sometimes we had an electrical problem with our thermostat and there was no heat and people were bringing jackets and even blankets into church. I walk in here and it was warm. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I praise you for that. It's nice to have that warmth here. The second thing is significant things, big, courageous things. Salvation, forgiveness, huge answers to prayers, eternity, God's promises, fellowship with the brethren, spiritual gifts, healings. We need to be thankful to the Lord for these things. And then small things, just a little baby, caring things. That might be something like the sunrise or sunset, provision of something. But church, we need to be intentional about thanking God. So, what is the last thing in this prayer pattern? We've had adoration, confession, thanksgiving. The fourth thing is supplication. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And this is supplication. This is always the one that should come last. I've been encouraged, and I've encouraged people to pray this way. Try doing the first three. And don't worry about the fourth. It will come. But try just adoring the Lord. Spend all your time. If all you did was adore the Lord, you'd be fine. I really believe this. I think the confession would just naturally follow. I think the thanksgiving would. But if we just adore the Lord, God, I just thank you. It's going to change us. We won't be sinning as much. We'll be just praising God. And so, I've heard one pastor talk about that. He said, just try going into prayer. If we tonight, and we're going to be praying in less than 5 minutes, if we just sat here and we just focused on adoring, what is funny is that we want to jump to the supplication part because that's our natural inclination. God, would you please do this? Well, we're asking for things. We're supplicating, right? But it would be a good practice, and I think it's a good practice to do. And sometimes you do that for a test with a congregation, like, hey, let's see if we can only praise God tonight. And then what happens is you start thanking him, and then and also, Lord, would you please do this, you know? Or, Lord, would you help us to adore you? Like, we still kind of end up asking the Lord for things in prayer. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, right? Don't be worried about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Jesus said, every earthly father knows how to give good gifts. How much more does your heavenly father know how to give good gifts to those who ask of him? God's not some genie in a bottle, but he's our heavenly father. So here's some takeaways for us tonight. When we're supplicating, here's some things that you can do. What does Jesus want you to ask? It kind of follows that joy pattern, right? What does Jesus want you to ask for? What does Jesus want you to be praying for and interceding and asking for? Second thing, what can you ask for on behalf of others? How can you intercede for them? And then the third thing is, what things do you need to pray for yourself about? So the prayer pattern that we're looking at tonight is acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, right? So let's pray like acts and not like scat, right? Yeah.